Welcome to the fifth quarter podcast. Rick Samprin here. Win number one is in the bank, but not all Ticats fans are happy. The fifth quarter podcast begins now.
We've been talking Tiger Cats football for over 50 years. Welcome to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Hello, football fans in Hamilton from coast to coast and around the world. This is the fifth quarter. It is brought to you by Eastgate Ford, and you are listening to 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with you. My gosh, it is a, dare I say it, Ticats victory. You know what that means.
We love those cats, those Tiger Cats, the team with the spirit and fight. We'll crouch and snarl and bite and growl and win with all our might. We love those cats, those Tiger Cats, the team with the spirit and fight. For a whiskey wee wee and a ski wawa and on to victory.
Robert and his rendition of the Ticats fight song airs every time the Ticats win. And lo and behold, Hamilton gets the W tonight, 21-13, the final score. Ticats win number one. They're 1-3 in the season. I was going to say tied with Ottawa. I mean, statistically, yes, the Red Blacks are 1-3 as well. But with this win, Hamilton has the tiebreaker. So the Ticats no longer in last place in the CFL's East Division. It's a good feeling all around. Although I will say, yes, the monkey's off the Ticats' back, but there's still lots of room for improvement. We're going to talk about that throughout the show, I am sure, today. Thoughts and prayers also for Jeremiah Masoli. He went down in the first half, a year to the day after he suffered that leg injury last year at the hands of Garrett Marino. He goes down this time with a non-contact injury, and it did not look good. So our thoughts and prayers certainly with Masoli and the Red Blacks. And the turnover battle finally won by the Ticats here tonight. They get four. Ottawa turned the ball over four times. Hamilton turning the ball over three times. Ticats making Ottawa pay with the turnovers. Big turnovers by Chris Edwards, the first interception of the season for the Ticats. Simone Lawrence, Richard Leonard also get INTs. And big Ted Laurent with a fumble recovery. All contributing to a 21-13 win for the Tiger Cats. So we are going to do what we normally do. Take your calls, your emails, your texts, your tweets, your Facebook Live messages. Before we do so, and I got to alert Ben, we need mic number two on as well, because we're going to introduce you to Dave Woodard. You know him as CHML news anchor, weekday afternoons here on 900 CHML. Dave is going to be hosting the fifth quarter next week as the Ticats are in Edmonton. A very late night for me, if I were to host the game, or early morning, I should say. Dave's going to do it next week. Dave, your thoughts on this game tonight?
I thought it was an exciting game. I thought that it could have gone either way. They were talking, in the post game about how it could have easily been, a 2 or 3 score advantage for the Ticats, but it also could have been a loss. And it was one of those games that you always felt that the Ticats had, but this season, when there was one touchdown between the Ticats and the Red Blacks, and Ottawa was coming down the field, you got that feeling in the pit of your stomach going, oh no, not again.
Here it goes again feeling, and I think all Ticats Nation was kind of feeling that, but it didn't happen. Chris Edwards, who made a bonehead play after the whistle the last game, makes a potentially game-saving tackle at the goal line this time around, is Dustin Crum, who, for a rookie quarterback coming in after Masoli gets hurt, I thought played a pretty good game.
I thought he played great. I mean, any time that a backup quarterback has to come in, it puts the defense on edge, only because you've done all that kind of preparation, especially in this case where he had 2 weeks to prepare for the quarterback and you knew it would likely be Masoli coming in, and you're game planning for that. All of a sudden you have this backup that comes in who brings a set of different challenges, and he really kind of came to the forefront. He was not afraid to run that ball. You saw that in the very last play of the game where he thought, you know what, I've got 20 yards to make it, I can do this. And I think, if he gets more of a chance, maybe he gets to be a really good quarterback at the CFL level. But this game, it was it's tough for anybody to come in when you're on the road and not expecting to start, let alone when you're coming into Tim Hortons Field and trying to do anything against this defense and that crowd.
Yeah, he needed 21 yards on the play. He got 19, and that was the ball game. Did have a good touchdown run just before halftime, which gave Ottawa a 10-9 lead at the break, but the Ticats outscore Ottawa 12-3 in the second half and go away with a win. All right, you know the numbers, 905-645-3221, *9900 on your cellular device. You can email me, Rick, at 900CHML.com. On Twitter, at Rick Samprin, at AM900CHML. Use the hashtag #FifthQuarter, and we're also broadcasting live on CHML's Facebook page as well. All right, let's go to the phones first. Colton has been waiting patiently and joins us on the fifth quarter. Colton, good evening. How are you?
Well, a lot better than the previous past couple calls, that's for sure. Rick, how about you?
Yeah, I'm, you know what, as I said off the top, you know, monkey off their back, nice to get the W. The first win in the win column is great. Too bad it happened in week five, but there is also some room for improvement. Yes, the defense was good, not great tonight. I love the turnovers, but I wanted to see a lot more pressure, especially when Masoli was in, and I thought the offense is just missing that extra gear. Yeah, they were moving the ball, but, you know, they didn't run the ball a whole heck of a lot tonight. Schiltz, I thought, had a decent game, but there's some room for improvement. This team should should put up more than 21 points a game.
I think so, too. And I think that, well, hopefully this week is a building block, because now they get to go into Edmonton. I've been saying it at work all week that if they just win tonight and they can go into Edmonton next week, they can gain some real traction against some two teams that really aren't that good. So, but I hope that they can build on it. I thought Schiltz looked good. I mean, he looked a little skittish on some plays, but overall, like, I think the play calling this week was a little bit better too. There's a lot more passes downfield, which in the CFL, it makes it so much easier to play the game when you move the ball downfield too, I think.
Kind of helps too when you have a guy like Tyreek McAllister, who comes into this ball game and in his first CFL game scores a 64-yard touchdown on what was basically a screen pass, and he took it the rest of the way. That was easily the highlight for me, and that's why Tyreek McAllister is my player of the game. Who's your player of the game?
My player of the game, Simone, for sure. He finally had a game where you could tell, like, okay, that's why we re-signed him. You know what I mean? Like, that's why he's here. That's why we have him, because he was involved in a lot of plays and a lot of goal line stops, and he just was always there. I thought he had that pick right near the end of the game where he kind of made that scoop, and he had it, but I think he got nudged at the last second and dropped it. But for sure, it'd be Simone.
He had four defensive tackles tonight, one interception, two pass knockdowns. By far and away, his best game of the season tonight.
Oh, for sure. And if I could quote Nuke LaLoosh from Old Durham, I love winning, man. You know what I mean? It's like so much better than losing.
Absolutely. Colton, appreciate the call. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
All right, you too.
That is Colton, and his exit means there's a line open for you at 905-645-3221. You can also use that line to text 905-645-3221. Talk about tonight's game and vote for your player of the game. You can also dial *9900 on your cell phone. Let's go to the email before we get to the phones once again. This email from Alan. Hey, Rick, the game wasn't pretty, but hey, a win is a win. Offense is worrisome, but it was our defense that won this game for us. Hands down, Simone Lawrence was the player of the game. We are too predictable on first and 10, where we keep running the ball, but let's win next week against Edmonton, and we're back in it. Toronto won't be easy, but it's a rivalry. If we believe in ourselves, we can do it. Let's get past Edmonton next week. Offense could not catch some easy balls. We need to play better on offense. Our offensive line is still sloppy. Allen goes on to say, it's too bad seeing Masoli being carried off the field. It was a non-contact injury. That's not good for Ottawa or the CFL. He played pretty well also before getting hurt. A few missed opportunities before, but glad we all got those field goals. We can do this, Cats. Let's get some touchdowns next week. We did get one. Simone is the player of the game. Go Cats go, Allen from Whitby. So two votes for Simone, one for Tyreek McAllister. To the Twitterverse, we head to now. And a tweet from Jennifer. No, that's non-Ticats related. Pardon me. You know what? We'll get to... Oh, here we go. Austin. Player of the game has to be the defense. They got turnover after turnover and was a treat to watch, even if the offense didn't do anything with the picks. Hashtag fifth quarter. You can get in on the conversation as well on Twitter, also on CHML's Facebook page as well. Steve has called into the fifth quarter. Hello, Steve. Who is your player of the game tonight, and what did you think about tonight's ballgame?
Hey, Rick. I'd have to agree with the previous callers that have already got through that Simone's the player of the game. Looked like he was resurgent tonight, made a lot of big plays, and one pick and one very close one in the dying moments there. But a lot to talk about in this game. Defense played quite well. Pretty impressed with Jameer Thurman, and Chris Edwards had another stellar game, although last week was pretty awful with the shove down, but 2 weeks ago. But today he was flying all around and then knocked Crum down before he had a chance to get it to the end zone. But I think two big issues. Again, penalties, time count violations on kicking plays are unforgivable in a professional league like that. I don't understand how when Leggio is setting up for a field goal that there's a time count violation, and then again when we're making a punt. Just bizarre to see. It's surprising with Coach Reinbold as our special teams coach that this happens under his watch, but it's still going on and it hurts the team. But I think the biggest issue that I saw with the game tonight was play calling by Tommy Condell. For example, we have a second and one late in the second half where your whole playbook is open to you, and we try and run a quarterback sneak up the middle, which fails, and now we're looking at third and one. We're getting, far too much pressure on our offense when we could be changing things up on a first down play, for example, a run pass option or a quick slant to the inside. When I can sit here and watch the game from the stands and I can see what's going on with our offensive lineup and I can call the play before it even gets snapped, it makes it far too easy for the defenses across the league. And they've seen this all year. A couple plays when we're sweeping the ball out to Butler on the left-hand side and our O-line is crashing down to the left. Ottawa sees it so many times on first down, and they know what's coming, and it's too easy to stop. And the issue with this team all season long has been we are putting, Matt Schultz or, Bo when he was in, into these second and long situations when we don't really need to be doing that. So tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm right, or what do you see?
Well, you know what? I see not 100% execution on all phases of the game. You mentioned the time count violation. There was three of them in the first half. This team offensively, there are so many missed opportunities. Keandre Smith, a perfect example, late in the ball game, makes a catch toward the sideline. He just has to backpedal out of bounds, but tries to make a play in which he might get 2, 3, maybe 4 yards. Yeah, he'll get the first down, but loses the football. It goes out of bounds. Ottawa gets it. All these different, almost death by a thousand cuts mistakes catch up with you. And in the first 3 weeks of the season, or three games of the season, the Ticats could not recover. They just were not good enough to recover from those mistakes. And defensively, yeah, the secondary still has some work to do, but at least they got some turnovers tonight. I think that is going to be a huge confidence boost, not only next week, but for the next few weeks.
I agree with you 100% on that. And that's probably been the most frustrating aspect of watching the team this whole season, is that it's not what other teams are doing to us. It's what we're doing to ourselves. And I've been defending Orlando and Mark Washington and Tommy Condell, for the last two or three seasons, because after our, phenomenal run of 15-3, I really thought we had everybody that we needed in place. And I thought we're going in the right direction. And then with the big push this year with free agent signings and huge expectations that came with that, I really thought that we had the maturity in positions and the leadership on the field to make things work. And now I still see these, these own self-defeating plays, whether it's, awful play calling or if it's penalties that are so unnecessary. It's just we cannot continue to do these things to ourselves and expect to have success. And that's what's been going on for the start of the season. But again, I'm going to come back to the play calling. I thought tonight's game, with who we had on the field, with, you know, Schultz's ability to throw a pretty decent intermediate and even the occasional long ball, we didn't take advantage of that. And the plays were far too predictable. I'm very concerned about what we're doing on offense. I saw a couple of great plays in the first half where we had McAllister and Butler both in the backfield, and Ottawa didn't know how to quite line up against that. And then the second half, we go away from it, and it's first and 10. We run a little sweep with Butler, and we get beat down on it. It's second and 10. It's second and 12. And then we're throwing a 3 or 4 yard, you know, quick pass because Schultz is getting rushed on the line. This kind of stuff can't continue to happen if we're going to rack up wins. And even if Schultz is doing a great job standing in for Bo, this kind of play calling is going to hurt us. And teams are seeing it now, and they're stacking up against us.
I can only hope that, you know, they're going to get rid of this, you know, self-inflicted wound kind of mentality, because it has not served them well in the first few weeks of the season. Stephen, we'll have to leave it there. I'm going to jump to our next callers, and actually our first break of the fifth quarter. We have Chris, Terry, Karen waiting on the line, a bunch of emails, lots of tweets coming in as well, Facebook messages too. We'll get to all of it next here on the fifth quarter. It's brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
It's where Ticats fans come together. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Schultz gets the snap, throws to his left, and Tyreek McAllister. Wow. He's running down the sideline. He's at the 30, the 25, the 20, the 10. It's a touchdown, Tyreek McAllister.
21-13, the final score. Ticats beating the Red Blacks. Tyreek McAllister with a 64-yard catch and run to give the Cats their first win of the season. This is the fifth quarter. It is brought to you by Eastgate Ford, and you're listening to 900 CHML on the Radio Player Canada app, 900CHML.com, and we're broadcasting live on CHML's Facebook page as well. Where Stuart has chimed in with a comment. Stuart from Brooklyn, New York, said, "We needed this win. I thought the defense played good. Still like to see more from the pass rush. What a job by our field goal kicker. I would like to see improvement with red zone offense and cutting penalties down. Simone Lawrence is the player of the game, and field goal kicker 5 for 5. Season is young. Let's go, Ticats." Great comments there by Stewart. Dave Woodard is in studio. CHML News anchor is going to be hosting the fifth quarter next week as the Ticats are in Edmonton. And Dave, you were just pointing out Jameer Thurman had a really strong game tonight as well.
Yeah, 9 solo tackles, 2 sacks. Certainly one of the better games for him this season. Came over in the offseason from Calgary and has had he's been good, but he's been kind of quiet. And even in this game, we're hearing a lot of people talk about player of the game, Simone Lawrence, who had a fantastic game. Legio had a great game in the field goal department, not so much in the converts, but it was a great game for a lot of players. And I think it's a game where Jameer Thurman kind of flew a little under the radar, but he had a fantastic game.
Yeah, despite the amazing stats, Richie Sindani, probably his best game in a Ticats uniform, 7 catches, 59 yards. James Butler, 17 carries, 62 yards rushing. And Matt Schultz, should mention, 19 of 26, 233 yards, 1 TD, 1 interception. Chris has been waiting patiently here on the fifth quarter. Chris, your thoughts on tonight's game?
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Nice to have a win, but still pretty frustrating all around. I think your last caller said a lot of what I wanted to talk about, Condell. Predictable play calling. I don't know if he's hindered by Schultz and not Bo, if he won't let Schultz audible. Because when they stack the line on first down and they know we're going to run and we still hand off, I don't know if he has the capability to audible out of that. Do you know that?
Well, I don't think he does, but I will say this. I don't think this is just a Condell, Matthew Schultz, or any of the quarterback thing. I think this is a Tommy Condell scheme/play-calling situation that we've been seeing for the last number of years.
Yeah.
He is, I don't want to say stuck in his ways. He has his philosophy, and he's sticking to it, has stuck with it. All coaches will do that. It's just, it's frustrating that when it's second and nine, it's a four-yard pass. And when it's first and ten, it's a run left or right. I mean, let's mix it up a little bit. That the McAllister touchdown tonight was a great example of a play we haven't seen for a long, long time, a wide receiver screen, basically, and they executed that to perfection. Great blocking downfield, McAllister with speed to burn. Those are the kind of plays we got to see more of.
Oh, absolutely. And his speed is going to be fun to watch. That was a heck of a run. But, I wanted to address that on offense. I actually tweeted you during the game. We have a coach sitting waiting. We have Milanovic waiting.
That's all he's doing at this point.
Oh, I know, but I think a lot of us are ready to change it up. I think last week we threw the ball deep and we completed three or four of them, right? They were pretty decent plays. We struggled after that. But we didn't do that tonight. We didn't stretch the field 40 yards, 35 yards. So we didn't open up that run at all. We gave Butler some tough sledding in there, I think. But I wanted to address the defense. The last two plays of the game, we're running guys on and off the field at the farthest possible place from our bench. I don't think we had enough guys on the field for the last play of the game.
I don't think we did.
No. And the second last play of the game, we run one guy in, two guys run out, one guy scrambling to get back. He was in no position to make a play. That was scary at the end. We're trying to shoot ourselves in the foot.
That's what, and there's another example of, those self-inflicted wounds. Like, it's almost as if they try to get in their own way to prevent them from having success. And I don't know if it's a mental block or what it is, but at that point of the game, you have to be on your toes. You have to expect every scenario that can happen. And much like we saw in the Saskatchewan-Edmonton game earlier on this week, and what a wild and wacky ending it was, it probably shouldn't have happened that way if players are on their toes. Tonight we had a great example of Ticats players who were not in position because, they weren't paying attention. They weren't on their toes.
Right, yeah. And it's hard to watch. And, like, at some point all of that falls back to coaching, right? And I don't know if that's Coach O or just Washington, but, it's getting frustrating to watch, right? That play
is
down to the two-yard line, if you had all your guys on the field, maybe that doesn't happen and we're all not holding our breath again. So
it certainly made for an interesting ending, that is for sure. Chris, who's your player of the game tonight?
I'm giving it to McAllister. He's going to be fun to watch moving forward, so I'm looking forward to seeing more of him.
I think so too. Chris, thanks for the call. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Rick. You too.
That is Chris on the fifth quarter. Room for you at 905-645-3221. You can text that line as well, 905-645-3221. Offer your thoughts on tonight's Ticats win and your player of the game. Got an email from William who says, the Cats beat a bad Ottawa team. Still lots of improvement needed, but it is a start. Defense needs work, as does the receivers. Condell did well to mix up the playmaking. My player of the game is Butler. Outstanding effort. That email from William. Also got an email from Stephen out in Penticton, BC, who says, greetings, Rick. I am glad our Cats were playing Ottawa and, of course, the win. This was a must-win game. Was nice to see Orlando looking more serious on the sidelines for this game as well, but they are not playing all that great yet. Improving, yes, but a long way to go. Let's hope improvements continue. Player of the game, Thurman. Damn sorry to see Masoli go down with a serious injury yet again. Yes, we're certainly thinking of Jeremiah Masoli here tonight. We have Ken, Karen, and Terry is next on the fifth quarter. Terry, how are you?
Good. How are you, Rick?
I am okay. I'm satisfied with a W tonight. How about you?
Well, I am too. I'm glad they won. I still have some thoughts on the offense. They were down there three times beginning of the game and come out with three field goals. Our play calling, this Condell, I don't know what he has over this team, but his play calling is terrible. And they still hang on to him. My question is, does Ed Hervey still with the team?
As far as I know, I saw Ed a few weeks ago, and I don't think they've made any sort of change in that regard. So, yes, he is still on the team.
So, here's a guy here, Ed Hervey. They got Scott Milanovic. There's two guys that could replace Steinauer and Condell. If Condell was such a hot commodity as an offensive coordinator, why aren't other teams after him? His play calling is terrible. In the third quarter, it was 3rd and 17, and he calls a 1 yard pass, or if it's 3rd and 7, he throws a 3 yard pass. They don't even know enough to go to the first down marker. I mean, the football is so boring, and we know exactly what they're going to do. Every play is a run and a little short pass and a punt. So we got two guys up there that are, I guess what they're called is advisors.
So Ed Hervey is the assistant GM. He's also the senior advisor to the president of football operations. So basically a senior advisor to Coach O. And Scott Milanovich is a senior assistant coach. So he is basically an assistant coach.
Okay. So those Condell and Steinauer need to be gone. Steinauer, last year, he made so many boneheaded calls, throws a flag, or whatever, gambles on third down or whatever, and he loses it 90% of the time. Ever since he's taken over this team, he's a nice guy, don't get me wrong. Ever since he's taken over the team has gone downhill. There's no discipline. He proved that when Tim White punched his own player in the face. He proved it again with Edwards pushing the guy down. He never even benched him. So the league gives him a fine and whatever. Steinauer does nothing. They come off the field. He pats him on the back. Nice job, nice job. They're doing high fives when they do a quarterback sack, whatever. And look at the scoreboard, boys. You're down 15, 20 points, and you're out high-fiving one another because you make one or two plays a game. It's not good enough.
Yeah, that's not a Ticats thing either. I mean, we see players on every team do that in many leagues. But I get your point.
I know they do. But Steinauer, there's no discipline on this team. The same players make the same mistakes game after game, and he does absolutely nothing. I've been supporting this team since I've been 18 years old. I've seen some good years. I've seen some bad years. And for what we're paying, for what we're seeing this year, it's not good enough.
And, I hear you.
Okay, we beat Ottawa tonight, but we played and we beat a no-name quarterback. Never heard of him before. And we were lucky to get by him.
Yeah, but so, at the end of the day, they still got the W, Terry.
I know they got the W, but if we had played a decent team, we wouldn't have won. If Mazzoli hadn't got hurt tonight, we wouldn't have beat Ottawa.
Well, we'll never find out. Terry, who's your player of the game tonight?
The player of the game, I guess I got to go with Simone. But anyway, this organization needs to make some changes now. They can't wait till they're down 1-6.
All right, Terry, appreciate the call.
This organization never makes changes. They stay pat. I don't know what Condell has over this team, but he is a bum.
All right, appreciate the call, Terry. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Gordy on CHML's Facebook page says, McAllister feels like the missing link from our offensive attack. O-line chemistry will come. Only way to get through the growing pains is to play the games. Player of the game is the sneakiest great pickup of the year, Richie Sindani. Wait until Bo and Richie pick up their chemistry from Calgary. This team can still be as good as they want to be. Excited for the rest of the season. And Peter says, I still think we stink. We got lucky tonight. A good team would have whooped our asses. There has been almost no improvement since preseason. I just jumped the page here. No improvement since the preseason. The D had flashes of brilliance, but the secondary is a joke. I am done cheering for this team till Condell is gone. All right, couple of sentiments. Not too happy, even though they got the victory. All right, just before we get to the break, Karen has been waiting patiently as well here on the fifth quarter. Karen, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing really good, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in. Your thoughts on tonight's game?
Well, I was not impressed with the time count violations.
You and me both.
I mean, what's up with that? Don't they know what they're doing? They seemed a little confused. And to have a time count on a punt? There's no excuse for that.
Agreed.
Okay, one of my other little beefs. In stadium, they stopped showing replays on the video board. And I don't get what that was about. I mean, they came back and showed us more later in the game, but it was like in the first and the second quarter, it's like they weren't showing us anything. And there were some calls that, you know, you want to look and see, and they didn't put them up.
Hmm, interesting. I can't speak to that, but that is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple of people noticed it. I was almost in tears when Jeremiah went down. I feel so bad for him.
Yeah, that was, you know what, that was tough to watch. A guy who was here for nine seasons and gave it his all and was kind of, you know, the guy that everyone was rooted for because he was that quiet leader who everyone liked, and it, well, I was absolutely gutted when he went down.
Yeah, you and me both.
Karen, do you have a player of the game tonight?
I do. I know a lot of people are saying Simone, and yes, Simone had a great game, but I want to give it to the whole defense.
That is perfectly allowable.
And by the way,
yeah,
I am now really looking forward to going to Edmonton next week.
Enjoy the trip.
I will. I'll be rooting the Cats on, that's for sure.
Karen, thanks for calling in. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Rick. Bye-bye.
905-645-3221, *9900 on your cell phone. You can also text 905-645-3221. Send me an email, rick@900chml.com. And we're also on CHML's Facebook page as well. You can throw me a line there too. Ken is waiting on the line. We'll get to him next here on the fifth quarter. Brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML.
We're talking Ticats football. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
From under pressure.
Wow.
Oh, they
fumble.
The ball has come loose. They get to the quarterback. The ball's still loose. Finally picked up by Ted Laurent. And he will bring it to the Ottawa 45. Big Ted found that loose football. Boy, that seemed to be out there for a long time.
Big Teddy not only scooped it up, he tried to run all the way with it, didn't get too far, but the Ticats finally got the job done tonight. 21-13, the final. Hamilton with their first win of the season. They're at 1-3. Ottawa also falls to 1-3. Your thoughts on tonight's game. Vote for your player of the game, 905-645-3221, *9900 on your mobile device. You can also send me an email, rick@900chml.com. Dave did, and Dave says, hi, Rick. Thanks again for taking my email. There's only two words to describe tonight's game. It was an ugly win. I'm happy they got the win, but they have not made very many improvements with their 2 weeks off. If the coaching staff still believe they can win with multiple field goals, along with multiple penalties, they're living on some other planet. We played a team with only one win and barely won it. Their inability to capitalize in the red zone and the lack of discipline on the team will fail almost every time. Dave goes on to say, I don't know what the senior staff see in Tommy Condell is not produced since taking over the offense and needs to be fired. I can tell you who isn't my player of the game, and that would be Carney. A major face mask, a missed tackle near the end of the first half nearly cost us the game. Lawrence seemed to have his best game. Finally, my player of the game was Butler, Dave in Stony Creek, who then added, Monday morning they need to sit down and learn how to read a clock. Funny you mentioned that, because there was a fan in the stands tonight. This is in the first half, three time count violations. And after the third one, this fan, I'm not sure where he was sitting, it was on the press box side, obviously, just screamed out, I will buy you a watch. And so a lot of fans and some members of the media in the press box got a kick out of that. 905-645-3221, *9900 on your cell phone. Ken has called into the fifth quarter. Ken, hello.
Hello there. How you doing?
I am A-OK. How about you?
Oh, yeah, doing fine. Just on my way back from the game here with my son. I'm on speakerphone, so. Yeah, anyway, that was your emailer that just took the words out of my mouth. It was an ugly win, but a win is still a win, so we'll take it. But I think they might have saved old Condell's job maybe with that win there, or somebody's job probably anyway. But, you know, a win's still a win. So ugly or not, we'll take it. It's better than losing, like that Ebby Calvin Nuke Lelouch guy said earlier. And I think, there was some good plays out there. Teddy Laurent, Kevin McAllister lost in Hamilton there. He had a really good play there. But my player of the game, I know everybody's saying Simone, they're saying McAllister and Williams and whoever, but for me, the player of the game was the long snapper, Gordon White. He had a heck of a game out there tonight. He was getting beat up. He was getting thrown around. They were slapping him in the head. He was really having a tough go. But the intensity on that guy is crazy. He can snap the ball, run the whole length of the field, and he assisted on a tackle there too. So to me, he was a really bright spot in the first half, along with Leggio. But the level of his level of intensity, that to me just stood right out. So he's my player of the game anyway. Thanks a lot.
That is a great vote, Ken. And I'll let you go. The long snapper is one of the most crucial positions on the field, but one of the most overlooked positions as well. Because unless something goes wrong, you do not even know who the long snapper is, and Gordon White is one of the best in the CFL. Joe on Twitter, at Rick Samprin, says, my God, I did not know it was possible to win a football game with almost only field goals. Offense needs to produce ASAP. Two players of the game for me, Butler and the defense. Also, was 26 playing with his eyes closed today? Too many penalties at bad times. Prayers for number 8, i.e. Jeremiah Masoli. Tim says, what a finish. Go Cats. The Mark P simply says, escaped. And Val on Twitter says, a win is a win, but wow, they have many problems with penalties, lack of touchdowns, run blocking not great, defense looking better, Simone player of the game, prayers for Masoli. Back to the phones. We have our first Dave, I believe, of the season, and it's Dave in Stony Creek. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hi, Rick. Finally got a chance to call in.
I'm glad you did. Welcome back.
Yeah. Well, I got it. It was an ugly game. I agree with everybody. And a win's a win. I'll agree with everybody with that. I feel really bad, you know, about Masoli. It's a shame. You know, hopefully, have you had any word about what about the leg, or is it anything out yet?
I cannot pass along an update. All I know is that's left leg. It looked like the knee area. I know he was kind of grabbing his hamstring, but... that could be, who knows, ACL, MCL, PCL, all of the above. We're hoping he's going to be good.
Hope for the best for him. I know we all complain about the officiating, but these guys this year so far, you know, for the Ticats, against the Ticats, have been terrible. You know, and I'm not saying that's the reason why the Cats are 1-3, but certainly hasn't helped. I think the team is, again, looks like a carbon copy of last year's team. Uninspired, loose on the defense, just can't seem to get things rolling. I thought last year that this year they'd make some coaching changes, but I guess they're not ready to do that yet. So we'll have to hopefully they'll get their things in order.
The word that comes back to me time and time again, I know you use the word terrible, and that would be an accurate description. You know, for many games of the last couple of years, I won't just say this year, but underwhelming, because I was expecting a lot better last year. I was expecting a lot better so far this year. I know they have injuries, but I'm still expecting them to get a lot better from here on in. I think the first four games of the season, including tonight's, again, underwhelming. Not as many touchdowns, especially in the opening half of of each game. This team can be better, should be better going forward. I'm intrigued to see if that's going to be the case.
Well, it's the same thing as last year. I was talking to you last year and I was saying the team's better than the record. And I think that when they're healthy, this team, even right now, they're probably better than the record. That's why I'm looking. Okay, well, if you've got a half decent team and they're underperforming, like you say, where else do you look?
Well, that's when you start looking outside, right? Like Tyreek McAllister, perfect example of, all right, we can be better at this position. Yeah. Let's go get someone. And they did. So I'm looking forward to see what he brings to the table.
Yeah, me too. Hopefully they can keep up. And hopefully it's still not too late to turn things around. So we'll hope for the best. It was great talking to you again, Rick, as well. Hopefully we get a chance to call in soon.
You got it. Always appreciate your calls, Dave. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Dave in Stony Creek, and room for you on the phone line at 905-645-3221, *9900 on your mobile device. You can also text at 905-645-3221. Got a text from, well, an unnamed individual at this point. Butler didn't get much help from the O-line tonight. He kept running sideways because there were no holes for him. Thank you. Oh, this text from Tim. Thank you, Tim, for the text on that. And also getting text, hi, Rick, can you say hi to my dad, Russ Johnston? He's been a fan for 50-plus years and was at the game tonight. Russ, Good evening. Hello. Thanks for tuning into the fifth quarter and supporting the Ticats year in and year out. Greatly appreciated. I know the team appreciates your fandom as well. 905-645-3221, star 9900. We're also on CHML's Facebook page tonight. And got a message from Mike who says, we need more depth with receivers. We won't beat a good team like Winnipeg or Toronto scoring one TD. We should try to sign Kamar Jordan. We have cap space with BLM being on the sixth game. Player of the game, Thurman. And Mike also says, it's also kind of ironic that we finally tried to kick the point after instead of going for two, and the kicker missed it. Yes, Mark Leggio missing a point after convert tonight. That happens from time to time. Too bad it happened tonight, though, because, you never want to see it happen, number one. But happening tonight in what was a really tight ball game, you just don't want to see it. One more break, and we have more of your calls, your texts, your tweets, your Facebook messages, and your email as well. This is the fifth quarter. It's brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Welcoming Ticats fans, young and old, you're listening to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Second and eight from the Hamilton 53. Crum throws, and it is picked off. Simone Lawrence. That ball was up in the air for a while. Looked like a couple of players had cracks at it, but the second interception of the game, the second of the season for the Tiger Cats, and it's Simone.
Simone Lawrence is our current vote leader for player of the game tonight as the Tiger Cats finally earn win number one with a 21-13 win over the Ottawa Red Blacks. Both teams 1-3 via the head-to-head tiebreaker. At this point, Hamilton is not in last place in the CFL's East Division. They certainly were that heading into this ballgame. 905-645-3221 to call in and voice your thoughts on tonight's game. Vote for your player of the game. You can also text at 905-645-3221. Send me an email, rick@900chml.com, or on CHML's Facebook page as well. You can also send me a tweet at Rick Samprin, at AM900CHML. Use the hashtag fifth quarter. Back to the text line. Fan of the game, Bobby Dubow. Okay. Thank you very much for that. I got a tweet from Alan who says, tough for the league to see Masoli go down. We will take the win tonight. Not sure what culture this team is taking on. Signing a QB that refused to play for Edmonton last week. This team seems like a circus show this year. Player of the game is Thurman. Hashtag fifth quarter. Well, Thurman now has three votes because Dave Woodard, who's in studio tonight, he's going to be hosting the fifth quarter next week, also voted for Jameer Thurman.
Yeah, he had a great game, 9 solo tackles, 2 sacks. He looked like always looks like he belongs out there, but he was certainly making an impact on the game today. Probably made it a little bit easier for the secondary to get all those picks there, Simone. So, I mean, it was just one of those games where I think the one caller called in and said the defense should be the player of the game. I think that's a great pick as well. They all played really well today.
They certainly did. And it was, a game that there wasn't a lot of pressure on, Destin Crum or even Jeremiah Masoli, but they did get some big turnovers tonight, and that played a big part in the Ticats' win tonight. Bill on Twitter says, wins feel better than losses, but the Ticats did not look very good versus Ottawa. The offensive struggles are painful to watch defensively. It can be considered negligence to enter a CFL season without experience on the corners. Edmonton will be very tough game, which is interesting because the Elks still looking for their first win of the season and first win at home in like forever. I got a tweet from RH who says, we'll take the win by the skin of our teeth, but we need to start acknowledging the brutal coaching issues. Wins like this mask the problems. 905-645-3221 to call into the fifth quarter. Offer your thoughts on tonight's game. Vote for your player of the game. You can also do so on CHML's Facebook page as well. Anthony on email, rick@900chml.com. Anthony says, hello, Rick. Well, we're finally in the win column. It was very far from pretty, though. Play calling and execution was very mediocre yet again. First down run, second down throws, some screen pass, very predictable. And we got lucky that one screen pass worked and it ended up in a touchdown. Defense was better than last week, so that's a plus. Player of the game, number 21, the HOV show. Outstanding game by him tonight. Here's my other thoughts. Tommy needs to go. Way too many dumb penalties, and we are far from a top team still. My heart goes out to Masoli. That guy can't catch a break. Shout out to the fans for giving him a standing ovation when he was taken off the field. I unfortunately think that this will be the last time he ever sees the field with age and injuries added up for him. Here's hoping we get it together for next week. Cheers, Anthony. It was a heartfelt moment for sure when Jeremiah Masoli did go down with that injury. Again, non-contact, left knee, did not look good, and hopefully he's going to be as good as he can be. But that looks like a season ender. Sometimes you don't want to say it, but it's got all the hallmarks of one of those. Mark on Twitter, Cats still suck. Glad they won, but I've never seen this level of crap since 2003. Hashtag fifth quarter. Mark not pulling any punches here tonight. Philip says there's an asterisk here. Hamilton wins against a fourth string QB. Sorry, not convinced. Jeff on Twitter, a win is a win, but this is a crap team. Poorly coached as usual. I've never left a win mad before tonight. One of the better teams would have throttled either of these two. I think they handed off on every first down play. How original. Player of the game, Legio. I feel for Masoli. Get well. Lots of tweets coming in. Dave on Twitter. Great to get the first win of the season, but offensive play calling is still bad and needs to be addressed. D played good and by far their best game of the season. Player of the game, Simone Lawrence. Let's roll in Edmonton. So Simone now up to 6 votes as you vote for your player of the game. Use the hashtag fifth quarter if you're doing so on Twitter. Here's another Jeff. It's not a complete Ticats until the final whistle of the fifth quarter. Thank you, Jeff, for that promo there. Here's another one. Angelo says, hi, Rick. I've been waiting a few weeks since the Ticats got their first win of the 2023 season. Haven't we all? And the Mark P says, take the win, but this is not a good football team right now. Had to struggle against Dustin Crum, who almost pulled it out. Player of the game is Thurman. Thurman up to 4 votes. Have your say on Player of the Game at 905-645-3221 via email, rick@900chml.com. Here's another Angelo who says, Tiger Cats win in the subject line. A nail-biter, I tell you. Although it wasn't perfection, they found a way. I thought the defense played with great intensity and desperation and made big plays. I thought this was a great example of complementary football. I thought the D-line pressure created havoc up front and the secondary capitalized big time. Offensively, Schiltz managed the game well. McAllister was a good revelation and spark tonight. Legio 5 for 5 and is perfect since becoming a Tiger Cat. Let's keep it rolling, boys. A short week to boot. Player of the game, Lawrence and Edwards. Big Ange in Stony Creek. First vote for Chris Edwards. And I might think it's hard for fans to do so, given his history with the Argonauts, given his history with what happened back in the East Final a couple of years ago, and the fact that what he did the last time out. They lose the game, he goes to shake the Montreal player's hand and pushes him to the ground instead. Tonight, he makes what could have been a game-saving tackle, knocking down Dustin Crum at the 2-yard line. So vote there, number one, for Chris Edwards. Email from Randy. Randy says, a tough battle tonight for Hamilton. Exciting finish. First, I'm really saddened by the injury to Jeremiah Masoli. Jeremiah has given the fans so much to cheer about over the past years. A difficult thing to watch him on the sideline once again. Best wishes and prayers for Jeremiah Masoli. Randy goes on to say, a difficult position for Ottawa QB Dustin Crum to take over for Masoli. Good sacks on him, good effort in the debut by Crum. The Cats have to find a way to correct these time count violations. Great runs by and a TD by Tariq McAllister, a much-needed spark. Terrific turnovers achieved by Big Ted Laurent, Simone Lawrence, and Richard Leonard. Richie Sindani also had a good game. Simone had a much better game today. He has been quiet of late. James Butler, some good gains on the ground. It was good to see Powell in at short yardage QB for the Cats, but not a lot of success tonight. Will Cale Locksley get a chance? His experience could be a good benefit in the dual QB wide receiver role. Some adjustments may still be needed. Before I go on with, yes, more of Randy's email, Cale Locksley, I think, is going to be one of those pieces to the puzzle that gives this offense a few extra wrinkles. Number one, in that short yardage quarterback situation, yes, Absolutely. But I think he's going to be much better used and utilized in the receiver position. When guys go down, or if you're going to have two QBs on the field, Locksley might be QB number two, because we know he can chuck the ball as well. So Randy continues his email. By the way, congratulations to former Tiger Cat quarterback Jalen Morton, a member of the USFL Championship Birmingham Stallions team. Overall, some good performance by Matthew Schultz tonight. The pass to McAllister, a cheerful TD success. My player of the game is deservedly Jeremiah Masoli. I'm giving my pick to him. We wish he had never left Hamilton. A long way to go to turn this around. We will take this win. Whew, a relief, a win. Oski wee wee, have a nice Sunday. Rick Randy in Oakville. I believe that is all the emails and all the tweets. No, Colin tweeting in. Good W, great D. Wherever the OC needs to go, it's not good. Bring us Scotty M. And one more, I believe. Here's Brad. Congrats on the win for the Ticats. I hope you have a great call-in show. It has been a great call-in show here on the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. Let's get to some post-game awards, and we'll start with the big play of the game. Big play of the game's got to be Tariq McAllister's 64-yard TD run on a wide receiver screen, deservedly so. Player of the game voted by you, the fans. Player of the game with six votes tonight, Simone Lawrence, Jameer Thurman with a close second, Jeremiah Masoli in third place in the player of the game votes, and the fifth quarter fan of the night tonight is... You know what? We're going to go with Steve. He was the second caller of the night, had some good things to say, was positive, had some criticism as well for the Ticats. Steve is our fifth quarter fan of the night. The next game, Hamilton at Edmonton. Pregame show here on CHML begins at 8. Kickoff is at 9. Join Dave Woodard for the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford, after the game here on 900 CHML.
Where Ticats fans come together, win or lose. Listen after every game to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
The fifth quarter podcast is available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm Rick Samprin. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, so you never miss an episode. And make sure you rate and review.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.